bid you welcome again and express my appreciation for your being here. Always good to get together. We're very thankful for your attendance. There is an outline in the bulletin. If you didn't receive one when you came in, you're very welcome to go back and get one, but come back. Don't take one and leave. But please, if the brethren look around, please share if you see someone that did not receive one. So if you'd just like to follow along. I'm going to ask a question that I've heard over the years. When you get my age, you've heard this question many, many times by friends and family or just acquaintances. But people ask, they say, God, can you forgive me? Can you do that? I've heard people say, God cannot or will not forgive me of my sins because, and then they begin to list them. They say, my sins are too horrible. God can't forgive me. Oh, they're wretched. God can't forgive me. Or my sins are too many. I can't even count fingers and toes the number of sins I have in my life. Or I've committed them for too long a time. Wow, I've had a majority of my life just been disobedient. Or they have all three of them. They'll say, Brian, my sins are too many, too horrible, and committed for too long a time. Can God forgive me? Wow. I've heard people say, my sins cannot be undone. Can God forgive me? I can't fix what I've done. I can't repair what I've done. Wow. Can God forgive me? They'll say, I feel frustrated. I feel hopeless because of what I've committed. I feel like I'm without hope. God, I don't think God can forgive me. So that's the question we ask. God, can you forgive me? The answer is going to be yes. Yes. God can, God will, and God did forgive. I'm giving you the examples in our lesson this morning. God did forgive these people. Wow. So let's take a look at, first of all, the biblical message of salvation or forgiveness from God. I've listed 7 scriptures. I don't know how many it's going to take to convince you that God will forgive you, but I've listed 7 in my notes. And first of all, in 2 Chronicles 7, verse 14, if my people who are called by my name will humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, then I will hear from heaven and will forgive their sin. I will. Yeah. In Psalm 84, verse 11, for the Lord God is a sun and a shield. The Lord will give grace and glory. Really? For my sins? Yes. In Psalm 86, verse 5, for you, Lord, are good, ready to forgive. Ah. Ready? God, I haven't even told you what I've done yet. But God stands at the ready. To forgive. To forgive. And the verse continues. And abundant in mercy to all those who call on him. Abundant mercy. For my sins? Yeah. Matthew 1 verse 21, when Jesus is introduced to Joseph and Mary is going to have the baby. The angel appears to Joseph and said, she'll bring forth a son. You'll call his name Jesus, for he will save his people from their sins. My sins? Yeah. In Titus 2, verse 11, the grace of God that brings salvation has appeared to all men. Everybody? To everybody? To all men? Not just those who are kind of good. No, all men. Hebrews 5, verse 9. Jesus became the author of eternal salvation. I want that eternal salvation to all that obey him. Can God forgive me? Yeah. Hebrews 7, verse 25. One of my favorite verses. Therefore, he, meaning Jesus, He's able to save to the uttermost those who come to God through him. Now, that's a good King James word, but I don't use the word uttermost very often. But God is able to save to the uttermost. Think of all these, a line of the sinners. God can save the one at the very end. You think, oh, line up according to the horribleness of your sins, and God says, I can save the one that's worse than the worst. I can save to the uttermost, to the one at the end of the line. Yeah. So, here's some examples and illustrations of God's forgiveness. God's forgiveness. Number one, can God forgive a thief? Can God forgive a thief? I hope so. When I was teaching school, I know I've brought home paper clips and pencils without permission. Can God forgive a thief? Here's the story. In Luke chapter 23, and you're familiar with it, and I'll read it, in verse, beginning of verse 39. Then one of the criminals who were hanged blasphemed him, meaning Jesus, saying, if you're the Christ, save yourself and us. This is the crucifixion scene. Oh, but the other, answering, rebuked him and said, do you not even fear God, seeing you are under the same condemnation? We justly, for we receive the due reward for our deeds, but this man, the one in the middle, has done nothing wrong. So then he said to Jesus, Lord, remember me when you come in your kingdom. Jesus said to him, assuredly, I like that start. The words of Jesus, assuredly, without a doubt, don't even think about it not being done. Assuredly, I say to you, you will be with me in paradise. And yet people still say, do you think he really forgave the thief? Assuredly, Jesus said it, assuredly. That settles it. My hand goes up. God, I'm a thief. Can you forgive me? Yeah. Yes, you can. Number two, oh, the Roman soldiers who crucified the Christ. Guilty soldiers who crucified the Son of God, you think they can be forgiven? Here's the story. In Matthew 27, verse 27, the soldiers of the governor, so there's the people, the soldiers of the governor took Jesus into the praetorium and gathered the whole garrison around him. Verse 31. And when they had mocked him, they took the robe off him, put on his own clothes, and led him away to be crucified. Luke continues the story in Luke 23. When they'd come to the place called Calvary, we're familiar with that word, Calvary. They came to the place called Calvary. There they crucified him and the criminals, the one on the right and the one on the left. Then Jesus said, Father, forgive them. You think they receive forgiveness? Shake your heads up and down. Father, forgive them. Forgive them. God, can you forgive someone who just crucified your son? Can you do that? A third illustration, how about devout Jews who were also involved in the crucifixion? Assisted. Here's the story. In Matthew 27, beginning of verse 1. When morning came, the chief priests and elders of the people. All right, there's the people. The chief priests and the elders of the people plotted against Jesus to put him to death. And when they had bound him, they led him away and delivered him to Pontius Pilate, the governor, chief priests and elders of the people, devout Jews. Pilate interrogates Jesus. He finds no fault in him. So Pilate, because it's the custom of the season, to release a prisoner during this Passover season. So Pilate has an idea. I find no fault in Jesus. So you know what I'll do? I'll bring out, and the Bible uses the phrase, a notable prisoner. Surely no one will want this prisoner released. His name is Barabbas. So Pilate brings out Barabbas and Jesus. And he says, which of the two will ye that I release unto you? Barabbas? Or Jesus, who's called the Christ? And they all shouted, Barabbas. Release Barabbas. Then Pilate said, well, then what shall I do unto Jesus, who's called the Christ? And the Bible says they all said, let him be crucified. Let him be crucified. Chief priests and the elders delivers Jesus to the soldiers. And then in verse 25 of Matthew 27, all the people answered and said, his blood be on us and our children. So Jesus is crucified by the Romans. But the Jews had, the chief priests and the elders had a hand in it. Then Jesus, after his crucifixion, he's buried. He's resurrected the third day. For the next 40 days, Jesus is involved in an earthly ministry. His last words are, after the end of 40 days, before he ascends back to the Father, or says, go and preach the gospel to all the world. He that believes and is baptized shall be saved. And then Jesus is ascended back to the Father. 10 days after his ascension is the day of Pentecost in Acts chapter 2, verse 1. The day of Pentecost is 50 days after the Passover, Pentecost 50. Okay. So now we have this the day of Pentecost, and the Bible says in Acts chapter 2, verse 5, and there were dwelling in Jerusalem Jews, devout men from every nation under heaven. But in verse 14, Peter, standing up with the 11, so the disciples and these devout Jews on this feast day or the holiday of Pentecost are there, and Peter and the apostles have them all gathered together, devout Jews. Peter stands up with the 11, raised his voice and said to them, men of Judea, who's in the audience? Men of Judea, chief priests, elders. Ye men of Judea and all who dwell in Jerusalem, let this be known to you and heed my words. All right, Peter and the apostles, what are you about to say on this day of Pentecost? In verse 22, Peter started his speech. And Peter in verse 22 says, men of Israel. So we have Jews, devout men, men of Israel. Men of Israel, hear these words. Jesus of Nazareth. A man attested to you by God and by miracle, by miracles, wonders, and signs which God did through him in your midst, as you yourselves know. You know this. Him, meaning Jesus, being delivered by the determined purpose and foreknowledge of God, you, who's the you? Devout Jews. Men of Judea. Men of Israel, you have taken by lawless hands, have crucified and put to death him, meaning Jesus, whom God raised up, having loosed the pains of death, because it wasn't possible that he should be holden by it. Peter continues his lesson, his sermon, in verse 36. It says, then let all the house of Israel know, Acts 2, verse 36, know that this Jesus, whom you crucified, God has made both Lord and Christ. When they heard that, the verse continues, they were cut to the heart. We've murdered the Messiah. We had a part in crucifying the Christ. Devout men, chief priests and elders, men of Judea, men of Israel. So they, Peter reaches that point. This Jesus whom you crucified, God has made both Lord and Christ. And then when they heard that, it says they were cut to the heart and they cried out, men and brethren, what shall we do? In other words, they're asking, can we be forgiven? We just had a hand in crucifying the Christ, murdering the Messiah. Can we be forgiven? Peter said, answered them, repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name or by the authority of heaven, in the name of Jesus Christ, for the remission of sins. Can they be forgiven for that? And you shall receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. For to you is the promise, and to your children, and to all that are far off, even as many as the Lord our God shall call. With many other words, the Bible continues, he testified, exhorted them, saying, save yourselves. Can they be forgiven? Peter said, repent and be baptized. Save yourselves. Salvation is available from this crooked, untoward generation. The verse continues, as many as received his word were baptized. There were added unto them in that day about 3,000 souls. And then they continued steadfastly in the apostles' teaching, the breaking of bread and prayers. Verse 47 of the same chapter, Acts chapter 2, the Lord added to the church daily those who were being saved. Saved? Who were saved? Those who received the word gladly and repented and were baptized. The ones that asked the question, what shall we do? We've crucified the Christ, murdered the Messiah. Can they be saved? God, can you forgive them? Yes. Here's what you need to do. Number four, your notes. How about a woman with many sins? Here's the story. It's in Luke chapter 7, verse 36. Then one of the Pharisees asked him, meaning Jesus, one of the Pharisees asked Jesus to eat with him. And he, Jesus, went to the Pharisee's house, and he sat down to eat. And behold, a woman in the city who was a sinner. All right, here's the picture. Jesus is eating at the house of the Pharisee, Simon is his name. And there's a woman in the city who was a sinner, the Bible says, came in. And she knew that Jesus was at the table in the Pharisee's house. She brought an alabaster flask of fragrant oil, stood at his feet, weeping. Right? So she proceeds to wash Jesus' feet with her tears. She dries his feet with her hair, kisses his feet, breaks open the flask to anoint Jesus' feet. Jesus points out to Simon, Simon, you haven't done any of these things since I came into the house. So in verse 47, Jesus says to Simon, therefore I say to you, Simon, her sins, which are many. I don't know how many. Remember in the introduction, somebody says, Brian, I have too many sins. Can God forgive me? Her sins, which are many, are forgiven. It's right in the text. Then he said that to Simon. Her sins, Simon, which are many, are forgiven. Then Jesus turns to her and he says, your sins are forgiven. He said to the woman, your faith has saved you. Go in peace. Can Jesus, or can God forgive me for too many sins? Oh, the next one, the adulterous woman. See, the problem sometimes brethren or people don't want to forgive others. But God can. It should be easy to come to God because he already knows what we've done. You don't have to explain anything to God. If you come to me, I have 20 questions. What? First one is, what were you thinking? But you come to God. You don't have to explain it. Just do what he says. Here's the adulterous woman. Oh. Jesus is teaching in the temple. Then the scribes and Pharisees brought to him a woman caught in adultery. And when they sat her in the midst, they said to him, teacher, Jesus, this woman was caught in adultery in the very act. Moses in the law commands that she should be stoned. But what do you say? Oh, they're trying to catch Jesus and test him and tempt him and catch him in a fault of some kind. Moses says this. What do you say, Jesus? Verse 7, they continued asking him. He raises himself up and he says to them, and you're familiar with the phrase, He who is without sin among you, let him cast the first stone. I hear these scribes and Pharisees, religious people. They all left when Jesus said that. They left, and it's interesting, from the eldest went first to the youngest. And they left without any stones being thrown. They knew they were guilty as charged too. And then Jesus gets up and he says he didn't see anyone but the woman. Jesus says, has no one condemned you? Nobody's here. Jesus said, neither do I condemn you. Can an adulterous woman be forgiven? Yeah. Then the next illustration I have of just the unrighteous. Just those that are not doing right. Here's the story, or the verse. In 1 Corinthians chapter 6, verse 9. Don't you know that the unrighteous will not inherit the kingdom of God? Paul writes to the church, the Christians, the brethren in Corinth. Don't you know this? The unrighteous will not inherit the kingdom. Do not be deceived. He mentions 10 groups. Neither fornicators, nor idolaters, nor adulterers, nor homosexuals, nor sodomites, nor thieves, nor covetous, nor drunkards, nor revilers, nor extortioners. 10 groups will inherit the kingdom of God. The next verse. And such were some of you. All 10 groups are represented in his audience. Such were some of you. But you were washed, meaning you were baptized. You were sanctified, set apart for a different way of life. You were justified, meaning just as if I'd never sinned. Justified, never sinned. Justified in the name of the Lord Jesus and by the Spirit of our God. Yeah. Can these 10 groups be forgiven? Yeah. The last one I have are just sinners in general, meaning you and me. It's in our text that was read to us. In Romans 5, beginning of verse 8, it says, God commended his own love toward us, in that while we were yet sinners, what am I going to do? Guilty as charged. God, can you forgive me? Next phrase is, Christ died for us. And then the next words are, much more than. Christ died for me and there's more? Yeah. Much more than, having now been justified by his blood, we shall be saved from wrath through him. Justified and saved. Yeah. From wrath. In 1 Timothy, the verse that was read to us, and I'll close. Paul said, I thank Christ Jesus our Lord, who's enabled me, because he counted me faithful, putting me into the ministry. Although I was formerly a blasphemer. Wow, will you listen to a preacher who used to be a blasphemer? You'll listen to a minister who's teaching you that used to be this? I was a blasphemer, a persecutor. I tortured brethren, the church. I was an insolent man, meaning I was proud. I was arrogant in speech and conduct. But then the next phrase is, but I obtained mercy. Paul, you blasphemed. Can you be forgiven? Yeah, I obtained mercy. I persecuted. Can I obtain mercy? Yeah. Paul said, I obtained mercy. Sure did. And then he continued, this is a faithful saying and worthy of all acceptance, that Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners, of whom I'm chief. Can God save the worst? Yeah. Yes, he can. I don't know if you find yourself in this list or not, but if you didn't find me in a particular act, you sinners. Dennis, you can preach this lesson anytime you want. Review it. Just add to it. I didn't list everyone that the Bible mentions as sinners, all the situations, all the illustrations. But are seven enough to convince you that God can forgive, reconcile, justify, put you in an acceptance relationship with Him? Yeah, God can do that. God can. Peter said in Acts 4, verse 12, there's salvation in none other. For there's no other name under heaven given among men by which we must be saved. The name of Jesus. So this, I put, you know, this message of salvation is called the gospel. Jesus said, preach the gospel to every creature. Go everywhere. He that believes and is baptized shall be saved. Saved? Even me with all my sin? Sure can. And that's why the gospel is called good news. So at the close of a lesson, we extend a gospel good news invitation. If you have not come to God, God's way, in all these verses, you know, we don't want to just say, oh, you're sinners, just go ahead and keep going. No, we had to make a change, didn't we? So Jesus sent his people into all the world. Teach every nation in the closing verses of Matthew chapter 28. Teach all the nations. Don't leave anybody out. Nobody? How about a prison ministry? Oh, yeah. Don't leave anybody out. There's a good news message here. He that believes and is baptized shall be saved, forgiven, no matter what you've done. That's the invitation we extend. If you're subject to it, if you've not obeyed the gospel message by believing and repentance and being baptized, you have that opportunity this morning. If you're subject to that invitation, if that's your desire, if that's your resolve, we can accomplish that. Just simply let it be known at the close of this song. So let's stand and sing, and Vince will lead us in this song of encouragement, song of invitation, song of exhortation. And if that's your desire, if that's your resolve, just simply come while we're singing this song and let your request be known.